Good morning. So good to be with you here today. This is my first time to get to be here for the Senior Sunday. This is wonderful. Really, really, parents and seniors, we're so proud of you, and what a delight and what a blessing to be able to share this together. You know, being a Christian is more than just a social gathering, isn't it? Everything in our lives becomes a God thing, a spiritual experience. So even these transitions in life, in school or moving towards independence and things like that, I hope that the church is always a part of your life. In fact, that is our prayer, echoing the sentiments that have been shared already. And even as we spend this time together in the Word this morning, really what I'm hoping that this will be for each of you, specifically for our graduates, but for all of us here, that as we are studying about prayer, that this will engage in your own personal life, a prayer and a calling in your own life. I was thinking this morning of many years ago whenever I heard the story about a graduate who got to experience like what our graduates did this morning, received a Bible, but it was from his father. A son received a Bible from his father on graduation, and the son goes off to college, and the son wrote letters back to his dad and said, "Hey, Dad, you know, college is expensive. There's a lot of different, you know, food costs a lot of money, and there's all these book expenses for class and everything." And so he's letting Dad know, "Hey, I need some money." And the dad would send a very simple response back. Each time, he would send back just a Bible verse. "Dear son, John 3:16. And he'd send that back. And his son would get the note, and he'd go, "Well, that seems strange." You know, time would pass by a little bit. So he'd try again, and he'd contact his dad. Dad responds again, "Dear son, you know, we love you. Psalm 23. Okay? This goes on for a little while. Each time, all the son can get back from his dad is a scripture. So the son finally calls the dad and says, "Hey, Dad, you know, I was really struggling financially through school. Why didn't you send me any money?" He said, "Son, did you ever turn to any of those verses in your Bible?" He goes, you know, he's kind of had a sheepish, "Well, no." He said, "Well, I had tucked away $100 bills in every one of those passages." So graduates, if you get instructions, if you need another incentive to read your Bible, I don't know, there could be, I don't know, maybe somebody slipped a few bills in your Bible, but no doubt we are excited for you and for what lies ahead. I don't know where all of our students are at in their spiritual lives. I don't know where all of our adults are at in your spiritual life. But one of the reasons why we're taking this time together to go through this series of prayer is I hope that we remember how foundational your prayer life is to your relationship with God. It's absolutely essential that the church come together as a community of believers and share these times that we have on Sunday and when any other gatherings that we have during the week or other times, small groups and things like that. We need the community of faith all the time. But we must learn how to relate to God in our personal lives, and that's where your prayer life becomes such a vital, essential, and it is absolutely a part of your heartbeat in your rhythm of knowing and walking and loving the Lord. And so we are spending this time together talking about prayer today. And today, like I said, today we're kind of taking the theme for our graduates, our seniors, and our students, and we are adding to that not only that we are encouraging prayer, but we're also seeing this as a calling for all of us that are here today to be the light as well. And as we look at the Word of God together this morning, I think that we will see that very clearly this is a prayer and a calling that Jesus has for every single one of His disciples then and today. I'm mindful of the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 34, where we learn something very powerful about one of the greatest relationships in all of Scripture was between Moses and God. And the Bible gives us little ways of knowing about this. One is in Exodus chapter 34. Notice this this passage here in 34 verse 10. This is at the end of Moses' life. We kind of have this as the epitaph of Moses' life. Look at the way that Deuteronomy describes Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom knew the Lord face to face. I don't have this verse up for you, but in Exodus 33 and verse 11, it has a similar statement to that, but it adds that Moses knew God and spoke to Him like one talks to their friend. Moses is the one who spent 40 days one-on-one with God, isn't he? He was in the presence of God Almighty, and spending that kind of one-on-one devotion, talking with the Lord and listening to God speaking to him, had a dramatic effect on him. It had a dramatic effect on them together. So that God felt a closeness and an intimacy with Moses that he didn't feel with other people, and it was one that built up over time. And whenever we come to Exodus 34, and I'm not going to read all of this text for you right now, but I'll encourage you to go back and look at this, but we have Moses going to renew the covenant, and he's going to be on the mountain with God, and he's asked God if he can see his face, and God instead is speaks to Moses and is able to let Moses see his back, so it was as he hides him in the cleft of the rock. But as Moses is on the mountain with God, something happens to Moses that he doesn't even realize. As he's spending time speaking with the Lord, it has a physical effect on his face. So that whenever he comes down from the mountain, the people of Israel are scared because Moses' face is glowing and radiant. So that every time Moses would go and have these divine encounters, when he would come back amongst the people, he would veil his face because his glow from being with God and talking with God was so intense that it was frightening to behold. I grew up in the country. I was a country boy. My dad still has horses to this day. Whenever I was young, he had a few cows. And whenever you're growing up around large animals, you have to learn something about presence. And what I mean by that is, when you approach something that weighs over 1,000 pounds, you don't just go running up to it and slap it on the backside and say, "Hey, how's it going?" Right? It doesn't work out well. If you've ever been kicked by a horse, or bucked off a horse, or any kind of farm creature, I bet that you have a healthy respect for how you present and understand presence. When I was very young, I learned how to approach the animals slowly and gently, so that after many hours together, they became used to me. There was a familiarization that developed, so that when others, even my own dad, for a time, who wasn't able to spend the same amount of time that I could at times with the animals, that they reacted to him differently, his voice, his manner, his presence, in a different way than they did me, because I had developed that kind of presence and that kind of relationship with him. Maybe it's not animals for you. How many of you know or have seen couples who have been married? We have a lot here at Hillcrest that have been married for many, many years. And sometimes it is the case, whenever we're around somebody one-on-one for a long amount of time, have you noticed this, where people start to look alike, and they start to talk alike, and they start to act alike? You know, whenever Heather and I got married, over time, I didn't even realize it, but every time we would go somewhere, we were matching in clothes. I don't know how that happened. It just happened, right? No, I don't pick out clothes, okay? She takes care of all of those things for us. But even sometimes, if you have a long-time pet, a dog, a cat, something like that that's in the home, starts to take on the qualities, the habits sometimes, of that one that they're one-on-one with. As a Christian, your time and your presence keeping company with God is absolutely essential, because something starts to happen whenever you spend one-on-one time with God in prayer. And it's not so much that it's a transformation that changes your appearance like Moses here, but it is a transformation that's very real, because the change that takes place goes on inside. And someone who spent a lot of time in prayer with God, or one-on-one time being in the presence of God and focusing on God and listening to God, is able to relate to Him no longer as someone who's distant and far away, but we're able to approach His throne as someone approaches a friend, or as Jesus invites us to see God as our Father. So that there's this kind of intimacy. And some of those fears, or those borders, those boundaries that we keep at times, start to evaporate, because what's developing is a closeness and a bond and a unity. You may remember this or you may not, but something that was interesting to me whenever we did our series on sacred sexuality, I shared in a sermon on marriage that a study showed that it takes as long as 9 to 14 years for a couple to be married before they are bonded to one another. That's fascinating, isn't it? The amount of time and devotion that it takes to develop a closeness and a kinship and a deep, devoted love. I don't know if you've ever spent 40 days one-on-one with anyone in your life, you know, exclusive from anybody else. That would be kind of tough to do, wouldn't it? It radically changed Moses forever, and it put him in a category that separates him from basically anyone who's ever walked the earth before, so that he was called a friend of God. There's something wonderful that Jesus does with us. We move from this growing relationship, heaven comes down to earth here, and Jesus does something similar with His disciples. He invites them to walk with Him. He invites them to know Him. He invites them to share in fellowship and eating and just having shared community and shared lives together, so that whenever we come to the text that was read for us earlier in Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16, the one that's familiar to many of us, when Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," we might be kind of shocked at first for Jesus to make such a proclamation over His followers, except for Jesus is calling out an identity that naturally comes as you walk with Him and as you spend time with Him, a transformation that's ongoing in a believer's life. You are the light of the world. He goes on here, "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Something that excites me about our young people that are graduating, our seniors, or something that excites me about those new Christians that we have amongst us, or even the children that we have amongst us, is dreaming and imagining, what is it that God is going to do with this life? Where is He going to send them, and who is He going to put them around? Because I believe with all of my heart that these who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, and these who have spent their time, their life, even, I know some of us, we go, I don't feel like I'm worthy to be called the light of the world. But what we're talking about is what Jesus is doing and creating in your life, so that you're going to have an influence and an impact on those who are around you that's beyond what It's beyond you. It's greater than you. It's the hand of God at work and the Spirit of God at work. And it's a reflection of the Father who's in heaven. We've been called to this, haven't we? to shine and glow, and it's a natural byproduct of those who spend devoted time in God's presence. But it's a calling that's not just for you. As much as I want you to have a deep relationship with the Lord personally, it's something that moves us so that as God and I grow closer together and as I know Him more and as I listen to Him more and as my heart is in tune with Him more, He moves me to action so that I feel His light burning inside me to go out into the world and shine. You know, that's what we're asking you to do. Graduates, your parents, they asked me to say this to you, one word. Whenever you get your diploma, whenever all of the celebration is over, they want you to leave. No, I mean, I didn't mean it that way. I mean, they want you to go. They didn't raise you and love you and teach you all your life so that you would remain. They have loved you. They have prayed over you. They have poured themselves into you. Parents, grandparents, men and women of the church, teachers. With the desire that God is going to send you out and do something in your life. Paul pulled on this analogy of Moses being with God, and he says, actually, Christians experience a greater glory than the radiance of the light that came from Moses' face. Notice this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen to these verses here. This is verse 12 and 13. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. He's saying here that there's something, a greater work that's going on in a Christian's life because it's not a burning bush experience, or it's even not the distance that Moses is experiencing. He was close to God, but it's not the same thing as encountering God in His full revelation in the form of His own Son, which is what we have. Jesus Christ, alive in us, so that the brilliance and the shining that's coming from us is very real, but it's greater than the one that faded from a face or from an outward appearance because it's alive, because the light is inside of you, Christian. Jesus Christ, alive in His sons and in His daughters. And he goes on and says, and we all who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. He goes on in this text to do something really neat in chapter 4. He's going to use an analogy. Notice this in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians in verse 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Moses experienced a partial revelation or was in a partial part of God's presence. In Jesus Christ, we have the full revelation of God shared with us through His Holy Spirit. Your encounter with God through Jesus Christ is not a less than experience. It is a more than experience. It is not fading away, Christian. It is growing, and it has a purpose in your life. It exists to shine. And I know you're saying to yourself, I don't feel like I'm that significant. To the young ones that are here, the graduates are saying, I feel too young to be able to carry that kind of responsibility. Some of us who've been around a long time, we might be feeling, I'm too old. I don't have the gifts that I used to have whenever I was younger. You're misunderstanding it. And Paul's able to speak up and say this, you know what? You're right. Outside, we look a lot like a jar of clay. So the outside isn't terribly impressive. Kilnam Chow was kind enough to let me borrow. This is very small, and I'm going to hold it very tenderly. But this is an ancient oil lamp made of clay. Pretty common in ancient times. Pretty common in the time of Paul when he would have been writing these letters. Maybe some of his letters to the churches may have been written in a dark place where something like this may have been the only light that he could see to write these words. And this is really cool to me, Kilnam, but probably to some they go, that doesn't look that special, right? But it served a purpose because light was inside. And it took the darkness that was in the room and dispelled it. So that what was invisible before becomes seen. Now this one I like a little bit more because it's bigger, okay? And bigger is always better in Texas, right guys? If you traveled out of state to come to graduations or to come for this celebration today, let it be known, everything's bigger in Texas, okay? That includes preachers and song leaders, right Isaac? Okay, yeah. Paul says we're like that kind of container. Now, Kilnam told me this one was even older, so I need to be real careful with it. It's not gold. It's not silver or some kind of precious metal. In your life, it may seem very simple and very mundane as far as, you know, whatever our outer self may seem. But never take for granted the living Christ who is alive in you. And His words over you are not just words of encouragement. He's speaking to you the reality of what He does inside of the life of a believer. And inside of what may seem very common on the outside is life-giving light. So that the imagery that what He's giving for us here is the outward vessel looks so simple and so common, but what's inside is making a difference that's so important in a dark world that cannot find its way. It needs the light of Jesus Christ that's alive in you. And so, seniors, we're proud of you today, but we're even more excited about what God is calling you to. And I hope that it becomes a regular prayer in your life. Lord, help me be your light this day. I know the power is not in me, myself, but it's you, Lord. It's your power. It's your light. It's your Son, and He's alive, and I'm going to follow Him. I hope that's your prayer. I hope that's all of our prayers together. We're going to have a prayer in just a moment, and then we're going to offer an invitation. And even on a day like today, I know we're honoring our seniors, but it may be you that's needing to respond. It may be your life or your heart that's needing prayer or encouragement, or it may be you that's finally, maybe you've been on the fence about faith in Jesus Christ and the difference that it makes, and maybe it's His Word that's touched your life today to know that He loves you and He has called you to be His light, to be His child. You can become a Christian today. You can have your life made new. You can be baptized and have your sins washed away, claimed and called to live for Jesus. You can make that decision today. Let's pray together. Holy Father, we thank You so much for the light of Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe that we have seen Your light. You use someone who shined Your light and they touched our lives so that we came to believe. And we came to faith in Jesus Christ. And the light that You touched us with now abides in us. Lord, help us to live out that calling of who You have made us to be. Lord, we do lift up our young people today. We lift up those seniors to You. We lift up our teenagers to You, Father, and our children. We lift up our adults and the families and those who are in advanced years, Lord. all of us the same. Even if the outward self is falling apart, inwardly we are growing in your Spirit. So God, we ask that you would help us to shine for you. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing.